And they don't speak any English, and so we were given this little packet, and it had, like, what we were supposed to say on it, and, like, Spanish, and so we memorized it and go and talk to them. And actually, Jenna Knott was on my team, and we would go, and we would, like, say buenas until they would come out, and we would just say, like, hey, we're Christians from the United States, and we're here to give a Bible to every family that doesn't have one. And it's so funny, on the script, it says, like, we were supposed to ask them if they don't have a Bible, and or if they have a Bible, and if they don't, we were supposed to ask them if they wanted one. But Jenna and I, we didn't even ask them if they wanted one. We were just like, here you go, here's a Bible. Like, you need it, so here you go. And so anyway, but they were just so thankful. And Nicaraguans are so nice and kind and loving. And after we handed them the Bible, they would we would ask to pray for them, and they would just, all of them, they would invite us into their house, and they would pull out the same plastic chairs. They all had the same plastic chairs. And they would pull them out, and they would set them down. They were like, sit down, you know, and we all sat down, and we would get to pray for them, and we saw healings and salvations, and it was amazing. But, you know, we gave them the Bible, but they were always, every single time, they would always want to give something back to us. And so they would give us food, or they would give us, like, the little things that they made in their house that they sell at the market. They would just give us stuff. And if they didn't have anything to give, they were like, come in our house, like, come see my pet monkey, come see my pet squirrels, my pet birds. And they would just come, and they were just, like, so loving. And if they didn't have anything to give or show us, they would just hug us and embrace us, and they would be, we would walk away from the houses, and they were sobbing. They were just overjoyed that they had the word of the Lord in their homes, and they were just filled with love. And it just reminded me, I was talking with one of my friends, Corey, from a different church, and, you know, they really live out the fruit of the Spirit, and they have love, and they have joy, and they have patience for us that don't speak any Spanish, and they are kind and they're loving, and it's just all these things, and they have nothing. They live on less than $2 a day, and we have so much. And how often are we really living out the fruit of the Spirit? And one thing that I was really talking about with Corey was that you know, to me, the fruit of the Spirit was just a list of emotions or feelings that we as Christians should have, but it's so much more than that. If we have accepted Christ into our lives, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that's just those emotions, those feelings are the fruit of having him in our lives, and it doesn't matter if we feel like being loving or feel like being kind or feel like being generous, you know, it's the fruit of having him in our lives. And so it was really impacting me, and just like, wow, Lord, like, these people have nothing and I have everything, and how often am I really showing that, and how often am I really living the fruit of the Spirit? And sorry, one more quick thing. You know, it's the fruit of the Spirit, and you can't have fruit without having a seed. You can't have fruit without watering it. And so it was just really cool to think about, like, oh, what am I doing? Like, how am I watering it? You know, the Lord says that he is the bread of life, and if we drink from him, we will never thirst. And so we need to be watering ourselves through reading the Bible and just living like him. And that's how we will water ourselves, so that we would produce fruit, and we would produce, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. We will actually live out what Christ came to earth to do, and we would see God moving in ways that we've never seen before. So That was just really awesome what I was able to learn in Nicaragua. So,
okay, I'm Alexis, and this was my third time going to Nicaragua, and it was by far one of the best times. For sure, it was the best trip that I've been there. I completely fell in love with that country all over again, and unlike everybody else, my like God moment happens after the trip. I left Nicaragua a couple days earlier than everyone else, which was really unfortunate, and people basically had to pick me up by my feet and drag me out of that country because I did not want to leave at all. I was able to hold myself together to say goodbye to everyone and just take my last look before I left, but as soon as I got to the airport, I lost it. I could not stop crying. It was a really emotional thing for me, and I just thought in my head, okay, well, I'm still in Nicaragua, so once I get on the plane, I go to Houston, and I'm actually out of the country, I'll feel a lot better. But I got to Houston, and all I could hear in my head was, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be in Nicaragua. So then I got on the plane, and I flew to Louisville, and I thought in my head, I'm not supposed to be in Louisville, I'm supposed to be in Nicaragua. Then we drove to my house, and I got in my bed, and I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be in my bed in Nicaragua. And I thought eventually it would start fading out and I'd feel better as I was more at home, and I didn't. And I felt like the longer I was at home, the more I ached to be there. And I thought about something that one of the pastors told us the last night that I was there. She said, when you leave Nicaragua, a part of your heart stays there. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt like my heart, like where my heart was supposed to be, was empty because my heart was still there. So a couple nights later, I was just sitting in my driveway kind of like trying to talk to God, and I was just asking him, like, God, why are you making me feel, why does this hurt so much? Why, if I'm supposed to be there, why did you bring me back early? And I just, like, could hear him tell me something. He said that missions are supposed to be a time where I take you out of your comfort zone and I stretch you so I can mold you into what I want you to be. And as I looked back on my trip, I just thought, like, there was never a moment where I felt, like, truly stretched by God. Everything felt really comfortable. I mean, we had AC on our rooms and comfy beds to sleep in, and everything was just really nice for us, which is not how you would imagine a mission trip. And I just enjoyed every second of it. And I couldn't think of a time where God basically, you know, took me out of my own little bubble and, like, you know, made me go places that I wouldn't normally go. And I kind of thought of the lyrics from the song Oceans, how it says, take me deeper than my feet would ever wander. And I know that that's supposed to be something, when you go on a mission trip, God stretches you and brings you to a place that you never would have gone on your own. But I thought the way God did it was taking me back and taking me away from the country that I fell in love with was his way of stretching me. And I could really hear him in that moment. He really opened up my heart. So that's what God did for me.
So my name is Lena, and this was my first year, and I was really excited. And my God moment was on Bible distribution. And as I came into the people, into their houses, like, I saw this bird that kind of looks like a dove, but I'm not sure if it actually was, but, like, it kind of reminded me of God's promises and, like, how he was protecting me, even when I didn't realize it, that he was, like, there throughout every house and every circumstance and every drama and every, it was really cool. And then, like, I think the last day we did Bible distribution, I saw, like, two more birds like that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is really cool. So that was my God moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm Heather, and this is my second time going to Nicaragua. This trip was really sentimental for me because this trip marks 6 years ago that I gave my life to the Lord to follow the call of being a missionary. And so to go back to this country was just like, wow. I thought of, I'm in Nicaragua again. And I thought of all the nations that the Lord has given me the privilege of going to in the last 6 years. And I was just like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And there were so many testimonies that I could share, but I have two quick ones. One day we were driving out, it was really rainy, and we were driving out to the countryside in Nicaragua. And, you know, it's towards the end of the trip, we were all kind of like, where are we? Who are we? We're pushing on, we're all in. But we got to this church, and we're running out of the bus through the rain into the church. And we get into the church, and all of the people are lined up on each sides of the aisle. It was like an NFL, like, welcoming. And they're like, yes! And they're, like, clapping for us. And I'm like, you know, we just went from, like, I to, like, whoa, like, supercharged. And like, wow. And so we're sitting down, we're getting prepared for our dramas and our program, and I'm sitting next to Pastor Jeff, and all of a sudden I just have this, like, literal visual flashback in my mind. And I'm like, I've been here before. And I leaned over to Pastor Jeff, and I said, Pastor Jeff, did we help build this church? And, you know, he got to thinking, and we came to the conclusion, yes, we did help build this church. And so 6 years ago, when I was there at that location, it was a very hot, sunny day. I remember having instructions. We were going to have the medical team and the children's ministry and drama all in one. There was no shade because the church members were meeting under a thatched roof with, like, palm branches or something. It wasn't even really anything that you could sit under. And so they said, there's no, you know, place for shade, so be prepared. And I remember that day, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jim and a lot of the key pastors in Nicaragua were literally picking up block and laying it for the church building that I was now sitting in. And I was like, God, this is amazing that what you call us to do, you know, many of us talked about seeds, what you call us to do, there is a bigger picture. And I was just so thankful that he allowed me to be a part of that bigger picture from the beginning and then to get to see it at the end. That now, because of our prayers, because of our physical labor, because of you guys' help here, there is a church in Nicaragua that wasn't there before. And people are meeting. They're not in the rain. They're not out in the elements. They're in a building worshiping the Lord. And that church was packed out, guys. I mean, packed. So, yeah, that was definitely my moment of, like, this is all, this is why we do what we do. So,
yeah. I'm Adrian. This was my second year in Nicaragua, but my first time I didn't get to finish. So I didn't really get that full experience of the mission trip, and I was actually bedridden for some of the days and then flew out early for surgery. But this year I got to stay and finish what I started, and the Lord really worked, and I really got the full experience that I wanted, and the whole time I was thinking, there's a reason I'm here. You know, my family's back at home. They should be with me, but I'm here, so what do you have for me? And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to see a healing or a salvation. And the whole time there, I didn't see either, but God kind of spoke to me. I got to see thousands of seeds planted. Yeah. You know, God was just working. And when the time's right, he's going to nurture the seeds that we planted there and cultivate that and have so many people seek him and grow in the relationship with him because that we were there. Also, I didn't get to see this last year because I was on children's, but on medical, you get to go to the homes and see the living conditions, and that was one of the most amazing experiences I got and very humbling. There's one home that we visited to treat, and we were like, okay, it's going to be a single family. We'll be in and out really quick. We went in, and there were 22 people under this one tin roof, barely being held up by rotting wood, and it's just, the living conditions are crazy. So just really thankful and humbling experience.
Hi, I'm Heather as well. There were three of us, Heather, so that was pretty interesting, and two of us came back together. I have to say, this was my first mission trip. Really had no desire to even go on a mission trip until early this year when God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go on a mission trip. And I thought, okay, Lord, heaven forbid I pursue anything, but if you really want me to go on this mission trip, you're going to have to show me where I'm going to go. Knew nothing about this church, knew nothing even about Foursquare. And then through a friendship with Tracy, my nephew and I came and visited this church in the early part of May. I sat there and lo and behold, dropped in my lap a bulletin, and it was about the Nicaragua trip. And I was like, okay, Lord, did you really just drop that in my lap that I have to go on this trip? And I have to be honest with you, God just got a hold of me in a way that I never expected, never in a million years expected. Just from the love that I experienced from this group, you all have a phenomenal body here. I mean, you all have just a loving family that I am so grateful to each one of you all for just expressing that love to me. But in addition to that, just seeing that hunger and that passion in Nicaragua for people who wanted to know the truth. And it wasn't that they were just searching for something, because I was shocked at how many Jehovah's Witnesses were there, how Catholicism was so prevalent. But they knew deep in their heart that there was something different, that there was something missing, and they wanted that truth. And I was on the Bible Distribution League, went door to door, family to family, and people were coming out of their homes begging us for the word. And it just absolutely blew me away. After one experience walking down the street with my interpreter, there's this taxi that came over and almost kind of ran us off the road. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to run us over. But he rolls his window down and he said, un Biblia. I mean, he was begging us for a Bible. He said they are so hungry for the truth that he had to track us down. And we led him to Christ, and the lady in the back seat, she was led to Christ as well. I mean, people were just so hungry for the word. And, you know, Pastor Jeff, Tracy, all of you, I just thank you for the opportunity to go on a trip where God not only transformed my life, but is transforming so many others as well. So thank you all.
Hey, guys. So I don't know how many times I've gone. I don't know, only God knows, but I'm challenged every time I go to not just go through the motions. You know, in our lives, we just go through the motions. We read our Bible, we go to church. But yet there's something that we yearn for deeper in the Lord. And I was like that on this trip. I'm like, God, I don't want to stay the same. I want to be changed. And even though I've served you for a long time and I've gone on these trips, I know what to expect. It's exciting, it's fun, but I really want to walk away changed this time. And I have to tell you that so many times we ask God to change us, but we keep doing the same things over and over. We don't allow God to stretch us. I'm like that. I'm like, oh, I don't like being uncomfortable, but I want you to change me. Is that crazy? It's really crazy, but I like my own thing. I like my own bed. I like warm showers, and the older I get, the more I like it. I'm like, oh, no. You would think, you know, that after a while, you'd be like, oh, this is fine. I struggle sleeping in a bed that's hard and having a cold shower and trying to shave my legs and a coach. Sorry, men, but it's the truth. So, yes, you're laughing. Yes, you know. You know, the food is great and stuff. It's hot, sweating constantly. I had to walk in the rain the other day. I'm like, I don't want to walk in the rain. You see my hair? I'm going to look bad. And the only day I didn't bring a hat was the day it rained. I'm like, so the Lord was stretching me. And even though it was hard at times, I feel like I've gotten something different in my life. And I want to encourage you all, because you don't have to go to Nicaragua, although we would love to have you, to have the Lord do something different in your life. Just don't resist when it's hard, because that's where change happens. We just can't give up. And I kept pressing into the Lord, and every evening we would have time to share, and people would get up. We'd have pastors come and share words and encouragement. And one talked about, I think it was Madison, who said about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is in us if we're Christians. So many times we don't lean into that, you know, when it's hard, and we have to have patience. And I found myself at times after that word, because he talked about it, you all have the fruit of the Spirit in you. You have what you need. You have self-control. You have patience. You have that in your life, and the only way that we get, I guess, more of it is if we press into it and press into God. And I found myself, because it had stuck in my mind, I found myself at times going in the hardest moments where I'm so tired, but you still are around a lot of people, and you still want to be caring, and you're going to the, oh my gosh, I was doing the Bible distribution, you know, and you say that over and over again. Buenos dias. You know, you say that over and you're smiling. I mean, there are times where I forgot what I was saying. And I was like, hold on, let me start over. You know, it just, you just had to keep pushing through, you know. I have to tell you, God gave me joy at the end of it. you know, sometimes it's hard and you're like, and it's, you don't have a lot of joy and you're still smiling and you're like, this is, but then he really truly gave me joy. And what was so nice was I actually sat with people and loved them, really truly loved them. Those older women with all the wrinkles, aren't they amazing? Some of them didn't have any teeth. I was like, I love this woman. And I got to sit down with them and talk to them for a while. And, it was really, really good. So, anyway, I want to encourage you. Thank you for praying.
All right.
This is my seventh year. And while me and my dad and Bill were doing Bible distribution, we went to this guy's house and asked him if he had a Bible. And he said that he only has the Old Testament. So we gave him the whole Bible, and he hugged it, and he got really happy, and he said, thank you, and then he started talking and said, I'm not rich, but I try to save up enough money to feed 100 kids, and it makes me happy to see a kid with a plate of food. And then I thought that he was really generous giving so much, even though he had so little.
My name's Daniel Gossam. I'm a friend of the Akarmas, and he invited me to go on the trip, and it's a great blessing to get to reunite with Pastor Jeff, Tracy, and one of the moments that stood up for me was when we were touring the former orphanage, and Sylvia was giving us her plans for the future, and we were walking through the orphanage. We'd been in there for probably 10 minutes or so, and we came out, and there was a bright rainbow over the orphanage, and that was just confirmation to me that, you know, God's in total control of what's going on there, and whether one of the options or all of the options, if that's going to take place, that God has his hand on that, and he's going to make sure that lives are changed through whatever is going to happen there, and that he's in total control of that situation. But from Bible distribution to dramas to the children's ministry and even our team times back at the hotel, I mean, you could just feel God moving through each and every endeavor that took place. And I just thank you guys for your commitment to Nicaragua, and thank you for praying for us. And I just encourage you, if you haven't been in a while, to just go next year and just experience it. It's something you'll never forget, and God will grip your heart for missions.
Okay, so my name's Sarah. This was my fourth year, like Emily. And this trip was awesome. I got to be on the medical team again, which I love, and we're the best team, even though everybody will tell you different. We had 40 people on our team this year, and it was amazing. So anyway, I was the crazy baby lady this trip a little bit, just a little bit. I literally would ask women that were holding babies to hold their baby like every day. And I would come home and I would tell my mom and Emily, and I'd be like, guess how old the baby was that I got to hold today? And they were like, I don't know, Sarah, 2 months. I was like, 2 weeks. So it was just awesome. But I got to pray over them and bless them. And at the very last day, I was in one lady's home, and I felt like I should go out and do house calls, which aren't my favorite thing to do, but I like them. I just like doing everything else too. So, but I felt like I was supposed to go, and I went, and there was a little baby there that we didn't see till the very end, and he was 15 days old, and I just started crying and kissing him, and just, oh my gosh, it was amazing just to be able to hold him and bless him and in his life to come, and that he would come to know the Lord and just his family. So that was one really cool thing. And then I got to see my compassion child again, which I cry every time when I see them, and then when I see him, and then when he has to leave, and you know, come to know his mom and his younger sister. I love them and their whole family, their cousins, and all the people that come with us too. And then last thing, this is just a personal encouragement that I had over the trip, and I want to encourage you all as well. Before I went on the trip, I was praying. I was like, Lord, what do you want to show me through this trip? And it kind of just came to me out of nowhere, that I needed to pray for the mundaneness, like the rut we get stuck in. There goes my passport, guys. the rut we get stuck in our everyday life, and even the ruts that the people of Nicaragua get stuck in their everyday life. And you keep your head down and you're like, all right, God, I'm gonna make it through this day. I'm gonna struggle through this day and it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna be good at the end of the day or whatever. Whatever you may say to yourself in your head that gets you through the day. That we just needed to pray for that and pray against that and break that off of ourselves. Because a lot of the times what breaks us out of that is something that comes out of nowhere that we're not used to. And for us, for the people of Nicaragua, that was us. But for the people here, that is you. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about you've never met a mere mortal. Never. No one in your life have you ever met, have you ever shook hands with, have you ever made eye contact with, have you ever smiled to, that isn't immortal. They have a purpose in this life, and they have a purpose in eternity. And you have a purpose to speak to them, to encourage them, to love them, to let them know that God loves them when they don't feel like it. And just I encourage you all. There's a song, I sure all listen in Nicaragua, so if you all are hearing it again, too bad. But anyway, called, it's the off the new Hillsong CD, It's Closer Than You Know. It talks about heaven being closer than you know. You don't realize it, but it's all around you. Jesus is in the people that he already knows, that already know him, and he's in you. And the people that don't know him and the people that haven't yet discovered his love need that. They need that heaven from the love of God to just reach out and touch them. So just encourage you all, just if you didn't go on the missions trip, if you haven't ever been on one, if you want to go next year, absolutely come. But even here where you are at school and at work and, you know, at the grocery store, just I'd encourage you all to share the love of God. So.
This is my third trip. I'm Jennifer Hansen, for those that may not know me, but this is my third trip to Nicaragua, and this trip, I was more aware of the battle than I think I've ever been. I do Freedom Ministries here, so I'm very aware of spiritual battles, but this trip was particularly challenging physically for me personally, and spiritually as well. I was doing a lot of interceding, and I just am so grateful for your all's prayers. I literally would put out a, you know, text or get a hold of somebody or put it on our new song page to be praying, and you could feel the difference. And so you're very much a part of the trip. When you're praying for that trip, it really hugely makes a difference. The one time that I had been praying and I had said, Lord, you know, show me more than, you know, show me why I'm here personally, just from a personal standpoint. And there was a little, there was a guy that we went up to, and he, you know, they come out of their shack, and he didn't have a shirt on. And he was an older guy, and so he's getting ready. And I'm working with a family that they don't know very much English. And so I know very little Spanish, but I had a lady that knew just enough. And So anyway, he came out, and so we went through our thing, and we're giving him the Bible. And at the end, I would want to pray for each one. And so I asked him if there was anything I could specifically pray for. What they're used to there is they're used to us coming in and people just praying a blessing over them. So to get them to open up where you can get more specific is really important. And so he had come to find out he had been led to the Lord later in life. And so he had gone through a lot of things. And so he had come out of a lot of bondage. And come to find out, you know, he was struggling with, even though he'd been radically saved, he had come out of a lot of bondage. The Lord had really delivered him. He was struggling with feeling like God would still love him. And so the lady with me, who as far as I knew, the whole time that was with us, all she was doing, I thought, was just writing down information. Well, come to find out, she's the head of the Freedom Ministries in her church. But I would have never known that had we not continued, you know, and really talked to this man and gotten to the details. And so not only did we pray for him to realize who he was in Christ truly, what's really, really important to me is we had follow-up. We had a church. We always work with churches, and that's really important, that they go back through, and then they follow up, and then they're there, and they, you know, can minister to them further. So I think that, for me, was, it was just very specific. It was something that I could really relate to, and the Lord just used it, and I'm just really grateful. So anyway, thank you all.
You guys give all these mission heroes a big hand. And thanks, guys. Thank you all so much. Let's all stand together. Thank you for coming today. I hope you're leaving encouraged and maybe a little stretched yourself, and maybe even a seed planted about you going with us in the future. We would absolutely love that. So let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you did in Nicaragua, for all that you are doing in Nicaragua. God, help us to see that nation changed for the glory of God. And Lord, many Nicaraguan pastors said to me, I'm praying for the United States of America. We pray for change in this nation too, God. Lord, go with us now. Use each and every one of our lives for your glory. Help us to find even the littlest places to serve and to love and to show your compassion to others. Use all of us, Lord. We just worship you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great day and a great week.